seated. One of the elders here. Thank you, Bob. If you're visiting with us this morning, please be sure to sign the guest book in the narthex and join us downstairs afterwards for fellowship. We have a special welcome this morning to Reverend Larry Amiro, a familiar face to many from Strathcona. And welcome, Reverend Amiro. We're very pleased to have you this morning. There are a couple of announcements that I will draw to your attention. May the 3rd, as noted in your bulletin, should read May the 10th. There will be no women's coffee and no choir practice, but there will be men's card groups. So that should read May 10th instead of May the 3rd. And also just a reminder that there is a men's choir practice after the service this morning for the Mother's Day choir. We'll just take a moment to prepare for worship.
This candle is a symbol of God's presence, is Christ's presence with us this morning as we worship.
Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
The Lord is King.
He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, he is girded with strength.
He has established the world, it shall never be moved.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Please join us in our first hymn, number 269.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. all-powerful God, your only Son came to earth in the form of a slave and is now enthroned at your right hand, where he rules in glory. As he reigns as king in our hearts, may we rejoice in his peace, glory in his justice, and live in his love. Almighty God, grant that as your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also set our minds on things above, where Christ is, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, while we claim to celebrate the ascension of our Lord, the way we live proclaims our lack of faith in his power to deal with our world. Let us confess the incongruity between our faith and our practice. Let us pray together. We come, O Lord, to this day of glory to confess our lack of trust, while we sing of your lordship over all creation. We have too often acted as though you are powerless in the face of today's events. Help us to live with confidence in your presence today and in hope for life with you forever. Amen. Let us pray the words our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. In Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
The children's hymn is number 266. King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Anthem. Oh, you do the anthem first. All right. Sorry. We'll have the anthem now.
Thank you.
Well, after that, I guess we all feel like jumping up and singing and dancing, and that's what we're going to do. The children's hymn is number 266, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe we asked the children to come forward, and I think we're going to sit in the pews this morning, on the front pews when we come up, okay? Is a Jewish horror dance. So you can't stand still. And the one thing about their dances is that they start off nice and slow, but each time they move a little faster, they keep getting faster. So, I think you all know the words. You all know, anybody not know the words? You don't need your hymn books. So put your hymn books down, and we're going to move with this, all right? And you guys are going to stand up. And we dance in a circle. Okay? And we dance around in the circle. All right, here we go. Keep time with the music. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Going back the other way, I think we're getting dizzy. Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Clap of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Wow. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. I think when we worship God, we should have fun, don't you? Hey, isn't that what? God brings us peace and joy. I want to ask you guys, do you ever come home and find Mom's got a to-do list posted on the fridge? Maybe not in a list. She probably had those numbers written out. But I'll bet your mom tells you you've got to do things. Yeah. So what are the to-do things that mom has ready for you? Clean your room. That's a good one. What else does mommy have to do? You ever have to do dishes? Mothers! No, there's too many washing dishwashers around, isn't there? Everybody has a dishwasher these days. Do you have to make your bed? Wow. What else do you have? Do you have to eat your dinner? Come on, guys. Sheesh. Yeah, we men like to joke that our wives have honey-do lists. Honey-do this and honey-do that. Today, we're going to be talking in church about the ascension. That's a pretty big word. Does anybody know what ascension means? How about you kids? What is the meaning of ascension? What do we mean by ascension? Ascend, yeah. But it also has another meaning. When a king or a queen takes the throne, we say that they ascend to the throne and they take their rule. So today we're talking about Jesus. After he rose from the dead, and about 40 days later than that, he met with his disciples and he ascended into heaven to take his place on his throne in heaven. But you know, when Jesus left, he left his disciples with a to-do list. Did you know that? No. Did you know that? Yes. Jesus left a to-do list. Now, I don't know whether you can read this or not. Am I turning it too far away from you guys? No. Okay. So we need to have these guys see it, right? Okay. The first thing he says, receive power from God. He says, after you wait in the city for, how many days? 40 days, I think, you're going to be waiting in the city. Pentecost, 50 days. And they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they'd be able to get up and go out and tell everybody about who Jesus was, and they would heal the sick and raise the dead and do all kinds of things. Almost like a Superman power suit, right? So they go and receive power from God. The second thing, they go to the temple and pray. Because they need to pray for the Holy Spirit. They needed to pray and thank God for Jesus and for the salvation that Jesus gives. And they needed to thank God, ask God for help when they need, because they're going to be alone, because Jesus is not going to be there with them anymore. And then the last thing he said they had to do was to go out and tell all the world what they had seen. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. Actually, he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout the world. So that's the to-do list. Jesus' kingdom is here and now. And Jesus gives us that to-do list to go out and witness to him, to tell everybody we know, everybody we see, about Jesus and how he has saved us and how he has promised us life in his kingdom. Okay? And now we're going to sing our other hymn. And I didn't bring my paper down. What number are we doing? 268. Number 268. This one we're not going to sing over and over and over again. Maybe twice. And I'm not going to ask you to get up and dance either. I think I forgot to pray with the kids. So let's just have a word of prayer. Let's join hands. Dear God, we thank you because you have called us to be your children, to be citizens in your kingdom, and to go out and tell the world about you. Help us to be your loving and faithful servants. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we'll sing it once more.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 47, but we will start by singing the refrain. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great ruler over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our sovereign, sing praises.
For God is the ruler of all the earth. Reigns over the nations. God sits on the holy throne.
First reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." And the gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Luke tells us that 40 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, he visited his disciples one last time on the Mount of Olives, and he gave them their marching orders, and then he was taken up to heaven in a cloud. And when we read these passages from Luke and Acts, our focus is generally on that great commission that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and throughout the earth. And our focus is on that glorious ascension as we see that vision of Jesus being taken up into a cloud. And then the angels arriving and speaking to them and telling them that this Jesus who you have seen go up to the cloud is going to come again. That generally is our focus. We often don't pay a lot of attention to the question that was on the minds and the lips of the disciples as they stood there talking with Jesus. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And we sometimes look at that and we think, well, that's kind of selfish of them. They're expecting Jesus to establish his throne in Jerusalem, get rid of all the Roman oppressors, and give them the choice positions in his government, positions of authority. But the question is not as frivolous as you might think. After all, Jesus had raised their hopes of a new administration throughout his time with them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he proclaimed. And early on in his ministry, he read these words from Isaiah in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, too, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he declared that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus had promised them a new regime where the poor would be rich, where the captives would be released, where those who were oppressed would find freedom. And now at the end of his time with them, after his miraculous resurrection, it seemed only natural that this would be the time when he would make his move. The expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, the expectation of God's establishment of peace on earth and goodwill to men, was real concern for the people of Israel, God's chosen people. A real concern in Jesus' day because they had been promised this through the prophets for ages, and it had still not come. Jesus was the Messiah. He was going to establish this new reign. It's a question that was high on the minds of the early church in Luke's time as well. 60 years after the resurrection, it still seemed as though that promise had not been kept. Was Jesus wrong? Was the vision too idealistic? The belief that the great reversal would happen very soon lived on for decades in the early church. But it had not come by Luke's day. And if we look around us, we can say it has not come in ours. The pain remains. When we look at the world without rose-colored glasses, the poor are still poor. The hungry still hungry. And the weeping still weep. The life and love of God is spurned and rejected. Perhaps we don't often stop to face this reality. Perhaps it's too painful. And our temptation is always to avoid pain, to deny that it is there, or perhaps to explain it and compensate for it. And pain can be a destructive force, resulting in despair, wanting maybe just to give up. We may want to ignore it, but the pain can also be a positive force in the church as we struggle to in a world that is far. Postponing the kingdom. What Jesus and the prophets were talking about was not a kingdom in the here and now, a kingdom of God on earth, but a heavenly kingdom waiting for us when we will one day feast with Jesus in glory. We don't have to worry about any change within the world. We don't have to change for the poor and the hungry, the humbled and the broken-spirited. We offer hope beyond, not hope for change in this world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven often becomes limited to the commandments about doing good and the commission to tell others about heaven. Postponing the vision to the future or relocating it from earth to heaven fails to take seriously the down-to-earth character of Jesus' promises. It doesn't make sense of Jesus' claim that the kingdom could break in the acts of his ministry amongst people the promise of a new earth as well as a new heaven. Or perhaps we might personalize the kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. Jesus promised a spiritual kingdom. Jesus' promises to the poor and the hungry become promises to the poor in spirit and to the spiritually hungry. New creation refers now only to salvation of the soul. There's a little bit of this heaven, the kingdom of God in each of us or in our spiritual fellowship. But the world we live in is something to be survived, lived through. Like Pilgrim on his way to the celestial city. Or we might try to institutionalize the kingdom, asserting that the church is the promise of the kingdom, that the church is a little bit of heaven on earth. Or we see the vision of the kingdom as a reform program, something we must achieve by our own efforts. It's our mission as the church and as individuals to change the world by liberating people struggling under oppressive regimes, facing terrorist threats. This vision or this mission then becomes sometimes leads to violence, and we've seen that in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Syria. And these approaches may not be wrong in what they affirm, but they are wrong in what they deny. To seek the kingdom of God was never to pick out a part of reality where God might reign or a time when he might reign. To seek the kingdom of God never meant anything less than to seek God's promised rule in the whole of reality, in space and time. Everything is included. Everyone is included. This is the promise Jesus proclaimed. It is this all-encompassing character of the hope of the kingdom that creates the pain when we see the kingdom unfulfilled. But this hope of the total reign of God must not be watered down for the sake of our not having to face the pain. Otherwise, God is not God of all, but a God with a limited domain. Much religion is driven by the energy of the pain. It drives people into the comfort of closed systems, preoccupation with partial reality. Jesus proclaimed good news to a people living in poverty and oppression, broken in spirit, both spiritually and materially,
both individually and corporately deprived. This was not just a heavenly hope. It was not just hope for the end of the age. It was just not hope for spiritual renewal or individuals and communities. It was not just hope for material well-being and social justice for individuals and communities. It was all of these in enjoyment of the reign and presence of God. This was real hope. That is why the disciples' question makes sense. Had it been fulfilled, they would have seen it. And it is the real hope that Jesus proclaimed as near at hand and for which he asked his disciples to pray. Luke writes Acts to tell us not only that Jesus announced the kingdom, but also that the promise is being fulfilled. The church is part of that promise. The church is nothing other than the place within and through which the kingdom is coming into being. It is not itself the kingdom, but it witnesses to the vision and lives by it. The vision of God's heavenly kingdom on earth is the church's true agenda and its hope. The Spirit is the gift which enables the church to fulfill that agenda. And you and I are the place of the promise of the kingdom now. Yet ultimately the kingdom is God's reign. It is God's effort. It is God's gift. We are not asked to usurp God, but to share his purpose and by his Spirit become his action in the world. The fulfillment of the promise of the kingdom means we do not run away from the pain. We weep with those who weep. We mourn with those who mourn. And we refuse to take popular religious options which pretend Jesus never promised such a kingdom and pretend God is not God. The pain remains as long as the vision is not fulfilled. Each time we approach the Lord's table, the brokenness is set before us and the vision is reenacted. Because it is the Lord's table and the Lord's world, we receive nourishment to face the pain. Nourished by the pain and by the promise, we look at the world around us and within us and ask with the disciples, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And we hear Jesus' answers. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons God has set on his own authority, by his own authority. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall be my witnesses in Burlington and in Ontario and in Canada and throughout the world. The vision remains. The path, the pain is real, and the agenda is clear. The Spirit is with us, and we proclaim, God is Lord. Amen. Let us join in singing hymn number 760.
hearts of pain among these restless throngs abide. O tread the city streets again, till human hearts shall learn your love and follow where your feet have trod, till glorious from your heaven above, of our God.
Please be seated.
God has graciously blessed us with wealth, fortune, with family and friends. In response to God's gracious blessings to us, let us return our gifts to God. The offering will now be received. God, all that we have is a gift from you. We ask that you receive these gifts from our hands and the offering of our lives. Take them, bless them, and use them in your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to show your love to all people and to teach us how to live together as your people. By his death, he paid the price for our sin. By his resurrection, he gave us new life. And by his ascension, he took his place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to reign forever over your kingdom on earth and in heaven. Heavenly Father, grant that we as citizens of Christ's kingdom may serve him in faith and in truth. Help us to live as God's people. Help us to witness to the love and justice and peace that Jesus came to give. Help us to proclaim the kingdom of Christ in this world. Jesus, you have established your kingdom. You inaugurated your kingdom by your life on earth as you showed us how to live and how to love. But we live in a broken world, O God. It remains that the poor are poor. The oppressed are still oppressed. The captives remain captives. Help us, O God, to show through our actions and our lives the blessings of your kingdom. We pray today for those who are homeless, for those who are hungry, for those who are sad. Send us out, O God, to relieve the pain of those who suffer, to come alongside and be a comfort. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be with those to bless and to comfort. Pray, O God, for the nations and the peoples who live in the fear of death, those who live under oppressive regimes. Grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may be with them and with the leaders of their nations, that they may learn to rule with justice. We give you thanks for the hope that is in the soon-to-come negotiations between the U.S. and North Korea, that in those discussions we may see a lessening of the dangers. Lord, we pray for this congregation as they strive to be your people in this community. May they be willing and able, and strengthen them by the power of your Holy Spirit to be witnesses to their friends and neighbors. We pray for this community, for Burlington. May their leaders be led by your Holy Spirit to govern and lead in righteousness. We remember this morning the family, the Ward family, as they grieve the loss of a loved one. May your Spirit be in and around them to comfort and to heal. Help us, O God, in our days to come to be your people, to be willing to go and be your witnesses. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is number 769. in peace to love and to serve God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.